5, please.
Do you want those read together, Commissioner?
Oh, you want those read together, Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
995, accept a grant in the amount of $5,267,000 from the Oregon Department of Transportation and authorize an intergovernmental agreement for the East Portland Access to Employment and Education Project. And 996, authorize grant application to People for Bikes, up to $800,000 for outreach and education associated with transportation infrastructure projects.
Mr. Novick.
Colleagues, technically what we're doing today is accepting money that was actually approved by Metro Council in November 2013 as part of the 2016-18 Regional Flexible Funds Allocation. That's a window into the complexity of transportation project funding. But what we're also saying today is what the culmination, or at least a major step, of a lot of hard work by a lot of people, particularly East Portland transportation advocates. So I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the East Portland Action Plan, EPNO's Land Use and Transportation Committee, everyone that worked to develop the five-year East Portland in Motion, five-year implementation strategy for active transportation, and this grant will enable us to fulfill a lot of the promise of East Portland in Motion. East Portland businesses and neighborhood associations provided additional advocacy, representatives from David Douglas and Park Rose school districts who helped identify priorities for safely walking and biking to school, and thank PBOT, ODOT, and TriMet for figuring out how to best use limited resources to quickly implement the right improvements in East Portland with this grant. This project will include the following improvements, all of which originate from the East Portland in Motion implementation strategy: sidewalk and curb ramp infill and new bike lanes in Southeast Cherry Blossom Drive /102nd Avenue/103rd Avenue between Washington Street and Market Street. Sidewalk and curb ramp infill and new bike lanes in Southeast Market between 92nd and 130th Avenue, also known as part of the 4M Greenway. The Hundreds Neighborhood Greenway extension from Northeast Klickitat Street to Southeast Bush Street. The 150s Neighborhood Greenway from Northeast Halsey Street to Southeast Powell Boulevard. The transit safety, comfort, and access improvements to existing bus stops, including 12 new or enhanced pedestrian bicycle crossings, including rapid flash beacons and pedestrian hybrid signals on arterial streets including Northeast Halsey, Northeast Gleason, Southeast Stark, Southeast Division, Southeast 122nd, and Southeast Powell Boulevard. These improvements will provide safer, more convenient access to employment destinations, including the Halsey, Weidler, Gateway, Division Midway, and Rosewood business districts, as well as 5 elementary schools, 2 middle schools, 1 high school, and 8 parks. And for further elucidation, I will turn this over to Stephen Sigethy and Timur Ender of my office, who have some more details to share in this project and this grant.
And good morning to the rest of the commission, the council. I'm Steve Sigethy, capital project manager at PBOT. The commissioner covered a lot of it. We're here with a federal grant, $5,267,000, previously approved by Metro Council, and also approving the IGA with ODOT to proceed on this project. Some of the background the commissioner noted, this project continues building the projects called for in East Portland in Motion, transportation strategy adopted by council in 2012 and crafted with a lot of help from some of the community groups that Commissioner Novick listed. We further got help in prioritizing these projects subsequent to East Portland in Motion from those groups: EPNO, Land Use and Transportation Committee, the subcommittees of the East Portland Action Plan. They helped us really prioritize a set of projects to include in this grant, which was then approved by Metro during the last round of the regional flexible funds and is now ready for disbursement through ODOT. The original project was actually $8 million and had $3 million earmarked for outer Powell safety improvements, and we agreed with ODOT to have them hold that $3 million and add to their larger pot of funding for the Outer Powell Transportation Safety Project, which is a $20 million project on that state road. Here's a map showing the improvements. The commissioner noted sidewalk infill and new bike lanes on Market Street and the Cherry Blossom Corridor, 2 new neighborhood greenways on low-traffic streets, and including some segments of multi-use trail, and continuing the very important work of providing safer crossings of our major arterial streets, including streets on our high-crash network, Halsey, Gleason, Burnside, Stark, Division, Powell, 122nd. So we have 13 locations that are getting either new or enhanced pedestrian bicycle crossings.
Sorry, let me stop you for just a second there. I didn't realize the scope of this. So there are actually now going to be continuous sidewalks on both Market and Cherry Blossom all the way to David Douglas High School?
That's correct.
Wow, that's great.
Highlighting one other component of the project that you'll hear about under your next agenda item, the 100s Neighborhood Greenway, connects to a lot of destinations within Gateway Regional Center, the Halsey-Weidler Business District, the new Gateway Discovery Park that's under construction, Floyd Light Middle School, East Portland Community Center, the Mall 205, Plaza 205 shopping centers, Adventist Medical Center, and destinations beyond. Somewhat unique to these greenway projects within this larger project, we'll have several segments of multi-use pathway that will be completely free of car traffic, in which our charge is to not only look at traffic safety, but also personal safety along these segments. And we'll also be using some of those rare streets that had pre-existing sidewalk. We have several streets within there that will have sidewalk as well as neighborhood greenway shared bike improvements along these neighborhood greenways. And that's true along the 100s and 150s greenways. So after your approval of this grant and IGA, we anticipate being underway in October, with proceeding with concept design and final design through 2017, winter of 2017-18, and going to construction in summer of 2018. And with that, I'll take any further questions.
Questions, if any. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Now we'll proceed to 996, and Timur Ender of my staff will explain why we thought that 996 is complementary to 995.
That's correct. Good morning. My name is Timur Ender, Policy Advisor to Commissioner Novick. This is about Portland's Gateway to Opportunity proposal, and we are applying to a nonprofit called People for Bikes, which is a national nonprofit dedicated to better bicycling infrastructure. And some of the goals of this project is highlighting how, with a network of safe biking and walking routes, we can increase intentionally ridership in the area to complement our goals, including climate and health and safety. The name of the challenge that People for Bikes has put out is called the Big Jump, and basically the goal is to increase ridership, as I mentioned, and the focus is going to be on a distinct geographic area, and we've chosen Gateway. In coordination with some of our partners there. And it fits within the population, our geographic area is a population of 20,000 people. And the goal is by the end of 2019 to triple bike ridership in the Gateway area by implementing safe bicycle infrastructure in that area. And the focus is going to be on access to jobs and transit and schools where people go on a daily basis. So similar to the ladders of opportunity that USDOT has mentioned. There's no local match required for this project. The city would just provide the infrastructure that it was going to do anyway in its normal course of business.
Tamara, specifically, mm-hmm. The People for Bikes funding goes towards education and outreach to neighbors in the area to let them know about the projects we're building and how they can use bike lanes.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So that it leverages the infrastructure we're already doing and notifies people of how they can use this neighborhood greenway to get to Gateway Transit Center or Gateway Discovery Park.
Mm-hmm. And what's the current bike ridership that we're intending to triple?
I'm going to get to that in a few slides.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were done.
Oh, no worries. And so the challenge is going to have 10 finalist cities, and each city will receive $200,000 per year, and we'll have culturally competent and language-specific outreach materials to reach demographics that are traditionally very difficult for city government to reach. And so, yes, we'd be partnering with certain community-based organizations, which I'll mention at the end who those are. And so Portland's proposal is going to be called Gateway to Opportunity, and it's going to have a focus on new Portlanders, so immigrants, refugees, people who don't speak English, and it's going to be connecting to parks. We have Gateway Green in the area and Gateway Discovery Park, as well as the Halsey Weidler Business Corridor, which is the only sidewalk-facing retail corridor in East Portland, which will have protected bike lanes by next year, making it the most bicycle-friendly retail corridor in the city. And we really chose East Portland in this area because if we can make it work here, we believe that the model will be scalable and replicable in other parts of the country because we have wide arterials and wide streets that are difficult to cross. This is 122nd, which flows north-south. We know that streets like Gleason and 122nd are dangerous to traverse on foot. Just within the project segment between Northeast 100 and Northeast 130th, in the past decade, we averaged one fatality every 2 years. And some of the momentum we have in this area is that David Douglas now has a Safe Routes to School coordinator, and Community Cycling Center will be hosting bicycle camps in Gateway Green Park in the near future. And Gateway Discovery Park and Urban Plaza opens October 2017, and that will have programming activities like farmers markets to really be a community hub in that area. And Commissioner Fritz, these are the counts within the project area, in our existing counts there, and then it compares that to other locations where we have counts. So I would say we are highly confident that we could triple these numbers within 3 years, given the extensive amount of high-quality infrastructure we have coming on in this area. And this is our timeline. We expect to submit our application on October 28th, and then there will be a national announcement in February. And this is our map of the area. So it'll be bounded on the west by the I-205 bike path, and then on the south, it's on East Burnside with the transit line. And then the 130s neighborhood greenway, which will be constructed in 2018, will be the eastern boundary, and then I-84 to the north. And we're looking at certain freeway crossings to connect these neighborhoods a little bit better. And we have a number of schools in the project area. The other thing we're looking at is how to improve our data collection, because we know that unlike other parts of the city, the people who commute in this area by bike are not traveling between 7 and 9 a.m. and 4 to 6 p.m., so we'll be looking at different times to do bicycle counts as well. So I would say this concludes our presentation. We did have a parent from Sacramento Elementary confirmed to testify or submit testimony this morning, but she had a last-minute event. And so I would just want to take a minute to highlight some of the community partners we'll be working with. IRCO, Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, which is in the project area at 102nd in Northeast Gleason. We have a letter of support from Park Row School District, and we intend to get one from David Douglas School District, who has expressed very positive remarks about this. And then we're working with Tom Badrick from the Gateway Area Business Association, Michael Tetze from Community Cycling Center, Noel Mickleberry from Morgan Walks, and Ron Glanville from the Russell Neighborhood Association, Linda Robinson from Gateway Green, as well as TriMet and Metro. So that concludes my presentation.
I have a question, and this is very exciting. And what you're highlighting is all this change that's occurring in Gateway and all the investments you're proposing to make. And the map sort of tells an exciting story with Gateway Green in the works and a new park that Commissioner Fritz is going to unveil and some other things. But it still begs a question about how you get from 205 west. And there's a Gleason. Someone admonished me in my building the other day. It's Gleason, not Gleason. I defer to them. There's there's a couple of streets, but the big vision that's down the road is trying to get a bike lane along the Banfield. And I know that's complicated because there's rail. But that's what's been on the been discussed for a long time. Do we have any hope, Steve, in our lifetime that we'll be able to sort of work with the railroads to move that Sullivan's Gulch vision forward? Which is the most obvious connection from Gateway.
Define lifetime.
There's always hope. I can't give you a timeline.
Now and any recall.
There's always hope. I can't give you a timeline.
But are those they're ongoing discussions with the railroad?
Hi, I'm Margie Bradway. I'm the Active Transportation Safety Division Manager. I was nodding my head in that Sullivan's Gulch does remain a priority. The railroads are complex to work with, but what we're the venue in which we're talking about it right now is within the context of the regional flex fund conversation, again, looking into the kind of different ways that we could fund this with partners. And we think the best way right now to move Sullivan Gulch forward is kind of partnership with Portland Metro and a planning project development phase with and inviting parks as well to the table. So that's what we're currently working on and trying to seek funding for through the Metro process.
Yeah, that's great. And I know how complicated that one is. And what I would simply also just observe is that each of us deals with the railroads from time to time separately. Like BES recently had a big project because we had to move some pipes to accommodate a change in the track down where the Banfield splits to I-5. And probably we have more leverage collectively than individually.
Exactly.
So the relationship is a two-way street, and we do a lot of work with the railroads. And there's this persistent theme about how challenging this particular piece is, but we might collectively have more leverage than individually.
Any other questions?
Questions. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
We'll see if anyone wants to testify on either of these items. Come on up, please.
My name is Joe Walsh, for the record. I represent Individuals for Justice. On the second item, 996, the wording is confusing. It seems that what you're saying is that they're going to apply for a grant, but you're only going to allow them to spend up to $800,000. Is that reasonable interpretation? I mean, the first line.
That was 200, so.
Grant application to the people for bikes for $800,000.
It's a matter of what's a limit on the amount that people for bikes is making available.
Okay. I have a question.
Not a limit on how much we would want to spend. If they had a lot more money, we would ask for more money.
Okay, well, it seems that you're limiting them to $800,000. Am I reading that wrong? And I can't figure out why you would do that if they're applying for a grant.
I'll ask you that, if I may.
Sure.
My notes say that it's $200,000 per year for 3 years.
I got that. That's what brought this up.
Actually, Tamora, could you explain that distinction? We're applying for a grant of up to $800,000, as I think that's the most that we could get. But Tamora, actually, that is a good point. Can you explain the distinction between the $800,000 and the $600,000?
Yeah, just come up and stand there. That's fine. So is it $200 a year?
$200,000 per year, and I included a buffer of an extra $200,000 just so we wouldn't have to come back to council.
Okay.
But if council wants to limit it at $600,000, we can.
Okay.
Where would we get the other $200,000 from?
We wouldn't. It would just be $600,000.
That's just headroom.
Yeah, headroom, and certain in-kind donations are just kind of factored in. But we expect about $200,000 just built in, so we wouldn't have to come back to council.
Got it. Thank you.
So if you exceed $800,000, you have to come back to the council?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's dumb. I mean, if you support this, why don't you just give them free rein? If they go for a grant and it's $1 million,
Tamora,
why would that bother you?
Tamora, it's my understanding that we don't. People for Bikes isn't making millions and millions of dollars available. We're asking for the maximum.
Well, if you get $1 million or you get $1.5 million, wouldn't that be a time to celebrate and not limit what they're doing?
Well, that would be the reason to come back to council, is to celebrate that we've and accept some more money. But
they would have to ask your permission.
Yeah, that's the
that's
way it works.
That's a very weird celebration. When I celebrate, I don't ask anybody's permission. I just celebrate.
Thank you for raising the question. Right, I appreciate it.
You answered my question, actually, but the wording was bad, and it was confusing, and I wish you would do better on the agendas. Whoever writes the agendas needs to look at it from a citizen's point of view that knows nothing. You know, I know a lot. I've been here around here for 10 years, and it confuses me, and I always take that as a temperature. If it confuses me, the people that are watching this must be confused.
Thank you. And
I ask my wife when I go home, because she watches it, and she says, no, you were wrong. I understood. So, okay.
All right. I hope you win this time on that one. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Mr. Shedrick, and I don't specifically know about, but I have ridden bicycles and ridden them to work. I think that bicycles in the wintertime, rain is very dangerous. It gets you can't see anything. And so people who mix recreational bicycling with going to work on these things are two different things. You definitely need to couple them with light rail so that people can do most of their commuting by the light rail and then get on the bicycle. I even thought of myself about making my own bicycle, which has a solar panel on top on the back bar, so I can help me go uphill, but I don't know if I get enough sunlight. But that would, the top bar would also block me from the rain. And at any time, we could change the law saying you have to have a driver's license for a bicycle. I often worry about that one. They used to let people have these four-wheel things, but they changed. So it's something I would work on. It only cost me $1,000 to make a solar-powered bicycle when I want to go uphill. And I'm for this kind of thing, and I applaud the orange bicycle thing that Commissioner Novick's doing. It looks very good. What I'm saying is people have this idea that they're going to bicycle to work in a rainstorm. You'll catch pneumonia. So don't. I just have to have some caution here about some perpetual idea that people are going to commute on bicycles to work. It's not going to happen. They'll get sick.
Thank you. All right, anyone else? All right, then let's please take item 995 for a vote.
Saltzman?
Well, it's great to get this very important grant for pedestrian and bicycle safety in East Portland and to apply for funding for People for Bikes for the Gateway Opportunity Proposal. They're both very exciting, and look forward to these very important improvements. Aye.
Novick.
Just want again to thank the folks in East Portland that worked on the East Portland in Motion Plan for all of their work identifying and prioritizing East Portland's active transportation needs, because with that kind of community support, it makes it a lot easier for us to make a compelling case to get funds like this. So thanks again, and thanks to everybody from PBOT and TriMet and ODOT as well. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, in the interest of transparency, I need to state that my parents in love, Colonels Edward and Millie Fritz, live at Cherry Blossom Village, which is near these improvements, so I know that they're going to enjoy walking on them. However, they don't benefit any more or less than anybody else who may be walking on them, so my understanding is that I'm not precluded from voting enthusiastically for it. Like Mrs. Walsh, my parents-in-law do watch these proceedings, only they generally only tell me when I've done something good, so which is very helpful. So I will say something good, too. Commissioner Novick and Leah Treat and your whole team, I very much appreciate the prioritization of going for this grant, significant grant for East Portland, and the collaboration of the East Portland Action Plan and the East Portland Neighborhood Organization to make sure that we are doing things in lockstep. And I hope we can do more of the studies like the East Portland in Motion so that every area of the city gets together and prioritizes. Because contrary to what you might think, it's not just everybody saying, do it in my backyard. Neighborhood folks are willing to look at where are the highest needs and to advocate for each other. And so I really appreciate that, as well as for the plan to include more communities of color and translation services as part of the grant. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
It's a great grant, good process. Thanks for the presentation. Commissioner Novick, to you and PBOT and your community partners, job well done. Aye.
Yeah,
I knew there was so much support for this, by the way.
There's wild applause.
He arranged a rally just in case. So, but
this is great work. This really is great work. And to have this much new connectivity in East Portland is the kind of thing that we all want to see more of, and this is actually making it happen. So great stuff. Thank you very much, Commissioner Novick. Aye. Okay, 996 passes the second reading. Let's take.